Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, October 24th, 2024. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friend, Jackie L. Carantini, Associate Professor, Human Development and Relationship Extension Educator with University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. Jackie, we have no time for the interview. I'm just kidding. We appreciate you being here, Jackie, as always. Thanks so much for the time. How you been?
I'm good.
Good. Good to hear. Today, we're talking about end-of-life planning. We're going to dive into this one. You and I were touching in our pregame a little bit here. That we've kind of talked about this in general sometimes, but not really specifically directly about this.
Yeah. So we have, probably I have for like the last 4 years, a pretty constant, I offer a program called Planning Ahead. And it's something that we found, again, about 4 years ago, that Extension realized that there wasn't a lot of information out there, right? Like, you might get something from your doctor that might ask, do you have your advance directives filled out? Or a funeral home might advertise and say, hey, would you like to pre-plan for, you know, and pay for your funeral? Or do you have a plot in the cemetery? But there wasn't anything comprehensive. So enter us, and we came up with this curriculum called Planning Ahead. But then even in that, in its 8 sessions, but the idea is that there's so much that we don't even cover in there, because I could spend 8 weeks on any one of these topics, right? So one of the ones I shared with you that I was working with some young people yesterday and started thinking, oh my gosh, we've never talked about like guardianship and what happens. And so I think when we talk about end-of-life planning, we often think older adults, right? Because, yep, I hope that happens for all of us. Like, knock on wood, I want everybody to live to be, you know, 80 plus. I don't know if you've watched the news lately, and I don't know, I feel like by me, it seems like it's like all the time, like there's just so many more accidents. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But, and so you do see, there was one in the news this morning that it was young people. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, yeah. Do you have a plan? If you know, hopefully you're going to live for another 40 years, but if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and you do have children, have you thought about what's going to happen to your kids? It's that time of year when we do our renewal for our insurance and our benefits through your employer. So I was also thinking about this because it's a good time to think about what do you have for coverage? Do you have some of that? And then if you did, do you, who's named your beneficiary? And it, then thinking back to your kids, is there enough for someone to care for your children? Is there someone enough to be able to plan, you know, do they have money for future? Is it, you know, do you want them, is it school? Are you setting money aside for school? Is it just for their, you know, again, put a roof over their heads, things like that. So there's lots of pieces that kind of come into play. So I think this is a good time of year for all of those reasons for us to think about it.
When in the years that you've been doing this, Jackie, and this topic in particular, is there something that stands out that we tend to skate over or forget, or a gray area that stands out more than others when it comes to this?
I think the biggest piece is, I think, I don't know about you, but when you, you know, when your kids were little, did you just think, well, of course someone will take care of them? Right.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
just assume that our, you know, our significant other, our parents, our siblings, our loved ones is going to step up. And but we're not thinking about the burden that that might be or that might cause them. Right. So if you don't have money set aside for that, they might not be financially able to do it. And then think about the guilt that that would put on that person, right? If they're not able to, and then your child has to go to live with someone else or children, that kind of thing.
The way I describe this to my parents is as much as I did to my kids when I'm trying to encourage them as they're getting older. My daughter is pregnant. She's having her first child, and I wanted them to start thinking about these things. You know, not necessarily they have to get on it right now, but hey, it's good to have in the mind. We love animals. We know that this person that we care about, they would love an animal. So we buy them an animal. But we don't often think about, well, what we're doing in doing that. Hey, here's a responsibility. Hey, here's something you're going to have to pay for. Here's something you're going to have to take care of. The action is well-hearted, but you have to have a little bit more of a follow-through to it.
Yeah. And so when it comes to, again, kids or guardianship and things like that, it's not necessarily about love. And I think a lot of times we think it's about love, right? Love for the parent or the person, love for the child. And it's like, that's not it here. Like, we're talking about other pieces. So, you know, even if you start with parenting style, do they have the same parenting style as you do? Mm-hmm. So look at that. Do they have the same values that you... There's no right or wrong here, folks. And it's okay if the answer is no, you can still love that person, mm-hmm. but they might not be similar to you in that vein, right? So yeah, so start, you know, kind of like with parenting style, then look at values, then look at, capability. Do they have a house? Do they have space? Do they proximity? Would your child have to move to another city, another state? You know, starting over, that kind of piece. So these are all things to kind of consider. And then when it comes to then, you know, then there is the legal process. Like, yes, I want you to fill out the forms. If it's not a will, there is something, Wisconsin, a parenting plan you can have in place to say, yes, this is kind of where it's at. You do, like I mentioned, you have the ability with your benefits to name someone to a beneficiary. I highly recommend everybody has their beneficiaries up to date. That's huge. Very, very important. So if you change nothing else this year when you're going through your selections, please make sure you have beneficiaries designated. But think about that. Like, okay, is there enough that if something happened to me, would it be okay, right? Would they be set for a period of time? And, you know, what's in place? And so you can think about, and it changes as we age, right? So, you know, when you were in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, again, we're thinking we're going to live for a long time. Yeah. But now it's like, okay, you and I are middle age, and it's like, okay, we have this, right? So yes, I have my house. And so then there's this, and this is taken care of. And right. But then it's like, okay, where would you, if something did happen to me and my children who are now in their 20s have to pay for my funeral, where would that come from, right? Would they have access to that? So thinking about, okay, is there a policy that you could do that? Is it savings? Do you have a savings account? Is it set aside? Like, these are all pieces to kind of think about and think through and where that's at. So I think a lot of times we think about the big stuff when we think of end of life planning, like, okay, I have a will. I know what's going to happen to my house. But we're not always thinking about people, or you even mentioned dogs or cats, mm-hmm. or pets, you know, like, okay, do you have a plan for your pets? Like, is that something that you thought about? Where you go, I have to laugh during COVID. I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you. we started doing everything virtually, right? And we did these three times a week, this kind of wellness gathering. And it started for colleagues, and then we opened it up for the public. Mm-hmm. And we rotated who was teaching. And so one morning, I had this colleague that I didn't know. She had been a colleague for many, many years, but she was in the northern part of the state, and it was just someone that I didn't interact with. And so she, as she's talking, I can hear these birds just a squawking and a squawking and a squawking in the background. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, wow, you know, those are great birds. And she goes, yeah, no one really told me when my 30 years ago, when my kids were little, that these birds lived for 50 to 60 years. And so she said, now I can't get rid of them because I feel bad because I bought them for my children and I've now had them for 30 years. And it was like, oh, right? Like, we don't think about that. Like, this isn't like a 5-year commitment, yeah. Right? Like, this is huge.
Here's a pet tortoise.
Right?
Like, you know, good.
What's going to happen to that? And who has the ability to take them, mm-hmm. and to care for them and to have the same feelings and commitment that you did, right? And so that goes for a lot of our things. So I think that's just that kind of piece. So I think the important piece when we're talking specifically about things like guardianship or any of your plans is having conversations. You and I talked about this in previous years. We're coming up on the holidays. And no one wants to talk about dying because it's not, you know, it's just everybody's like totally taboo. Like, stop that. Don't talk about that. Like, that kind of, if we say it, it's going to happen or we're going to bring it on kind of bad juju. Yeah. Nope. I think when you're a gathering, you can even do it in a nonchalant way. Like, hey, have you thought about this? I was thinking about this. What about you? Because as you said with your conversation with your parents, it pertains to anybody over the age of 18. And so if we start having these conversations when our families are together, when you're riding in the car, when you're sitting down to dinner, it doesn't have to be, oh, I did my will. It's just like, hey, you know what? If something happened to me tomorrow and I am unconscious, I'd want you to keep me alive, you know, via machine. Would you? I've never asked you that before. Right. Do you want to be, you know, and start making it open and having some of these conversations as a family. And remember, there's no right or wrong answer. Everyone's feelings and emotions are valid. They're all okay. It's 100%, you know, there's no wrong answer. So we can't jump on someone if they say, well, no, I really don't want to be kept. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you'd say that. Why wouldn't you? Nope, like keep the judgment out of it.
Yes.
But just have conversations. But it really opens the door. So as you think about your family's gathering in the next couple of months for holidays, I'm not saying do this over Christmas dinner, but, you know, just, you know, if you're sitting down after dinner and you're having a glass of wine, yeah, pose a question, have a conversation. And the more that you do that, the more open that we will be, and you're able, and you're knowing what each other's wishes are. And I think the other thing is that I probably use this statistic a lot before, but when we ask nationwide who thinks it's important that we do end-of-life planning, it's like 92% of people say, yeah, absolutely, huge important. Mm-hmm. Who's actually completed it and done it? Less than 30, right? Yeah, so, you know, we're on 22%. So why? Because it's not normal. So the other part of this is that the more that we talk about it and we bring it out into the open, the more likely someone is going to actually do it.
We're speaking with Jackie Carantini from UW Extension. And Jackie, in my notes to prep for this, my very first thing that I wanted to talk about was how to start this conversation. I appreciate you touching on that, because I feel like so many things in life, if you can just get started, the rest goes a little smoothly or organically. And when doing this, I appreciate so much what you're giving us, and not just examples, but some really good insight into how to get this going and how to start something like this. And I think that one of the things to think about with this one is, one, you don't have to overthink it. And you know your audience. Just pay attention to your audience. You know your family better than anybody. Think about them. Like my family, my mother, very dark humor. So I leaned into that. And it got the ball rolling. And sure enough, we're talking about things that I would be afraid to bring up to her just out of nowhere. But with just a little bit of an icebreaker kind of thing, it can get the ball rolling. And that's all you really need to do. You get the conversation started. And you can go ahead and get into a lot of topics that you might not be able to otherwise. And yeah, it's a great note about this time of year and people not wanting to talk about certain topics. But it's also a time of year that we often see relatives we don't always see. And being able to have these conversations in person might make them a little bit more organic, a little bit more free-flowing, and maybe not as intense for some.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I don't think I mentioned yet, but I love to do the third person.
Yes, yes.
So it's not us. So if we put it into, like I said, you can turn on the news and you can see any accident happening or saying, hey, you know, I saw this on social media. Did you guys see this? You know, if that was us, have you thought about this? Do you have this done? Have you, you know, or where is your stuff? Where, you know, do you have this? Where is it? I have never really asked you that before. Use the third person, because then we're not talking about our own death, right? And so it takes it on a different level. So it's always nice when it's one step apart and it's a little bit easier to talk about. So that's important. I'm going to come back to planning ahead is our curriculum. If you do want, we have great checklists. So you said, where do we start? We have a checklist called Getting Started.
There you go.
And it actually just kind of walks you through. I like that because, one, it's a checklist, so you can check off, and Two, it's this idea of it gives you credit for what you've already done. Mm-hmm. So there are so many topics to this and it seems so daunting. That's usually this difficulty with starting conversations is the number one reason people don't start. Second reason is it's so overwhelming. They don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. So when you do a checklist, you can be like, oh yeah, I already did that, right? And it kind of empowers you and you're like, hey, I can do this and I can keep going. Mm-hmm. So we do have checklists. So if this is something you're interested in, you can contact our office. We have both paper versions and electronic, so I can email it to you. You can have access to it, or you can just Google planning ahead, comma extension, and it'll pop up because it'll take you to our free curriculum. So it's out there for anybody, so you don't have to come. If you are interested, I currently do have a class going on right now on Fridays. So tomorrow, we didn't talk too much about this topic today, but it's advanced directives. Mm-hmm. Which is usually one that folks are like, oh, I could hear that again, right? Yeah. So we'll be talking. We meet at McMillan Library at 2:00. You can come just tomorrow if you want to come just tomorrow. The next couple of weeks, we also have estate planning. We'll do funeral planning and end of life. And then we end with grief. So, but if you want to show up tomorrow at 2:00, we're in the second floor in the meeting room and come on down. All are welcome. We have a very small group right now, so we can accommodate a lot more folks.
Well, especially because we know just by the statistics alone that there are more people out there that really do need to talk about this subject and to really get into this. And the checklist is, I'm a list person, so I always appreciate those things. But one other thing about that, just piggybacking on what you said, especially with the amount of things that you have on that list, say you get one or two things checked off. That feels good.
It empowers you. It does.
And we don't think about it very often, especially you're in the grocery store, you're checking things off. You're not thinking about that, but in your brain is, and your dopamines are, and they're feeling good from that. And that can also carry the conversation a little bit too, just feeling good about the next time you talk about these things. And so much of this too, you not everything certainly, but certain things, you're one and done. You talk about it, you get it set, and yeah, you ain't got to worry about it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting. I like kind of how you said earlier, you know, dark humor. I'm looking at one of our checklists right now. It's called Deathbed Secrets You Don't Want to Keep, right? It is. And I think the more levity that you do bring to it, because again, nobody is excluded here. This is every single human is going to deal with this. So no one is left out. But, you know, it might just be like, oh, hey, I never really thought about passwords. Do you have your passwords written down? Where are all of your passwords?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if I'd have access to that. I don't, right? Look, I know where my dads are. I don't think I have I don't have a list of where my stuff is, right? And so it's that kind of thing. So you're right. And we do have this ability to, you know, check it off and feel like, oh, I can do this. So the more that we do give ourselves credit for, the more motivated we're able to keep going. Mm-hmm. Again, I think I hear the most common thing I hear from older adults is, oh yeah, I don't need to do that. I have a will. Okay. What about the rest, right? There's so many other pieces and components to it. And then I think the last piece, and I think I started off with this today, is that idea of sharing.
Yeah.
That's so maybe you do have it all done, but if you haven't shared it with people and told people your plan and explained, you know, why, and maybe you don't want to, and maybe you don't have to, but you at least need to say, yeah, this is where it is. It's written down, or I have this, or it's on my computer, or I probably shared this story with you before, but just a couple of months ago in the late summer, I had a woman call me and she said, oh, you don't know me. I'm from California. I'm here. My sister unexpectedly passed away and I found some of your materials in her house. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I said, how can I help you? And she said, well, I just want the answers. And I said, excuse me. And she goes, well, can I have the answers? Like, I want the rest of it. And I said, well, I don't know what you're saying. Like, what do you mean the answers? And she goes, well, I found all these blank materials. This is great. I need her answers to it. Do you have a copy of her answers? No. And she's like, well, this is exactly what I want. I need all of this. But it wasn't filled up, right? She never shared her wishes. And so I think that's that piece that you don't need to go. I know we're all private. You don't need to go sharing your bank account numbers or, you know, any of that stuff. But if you say, yeah, I filled out these materials, this is where it is. I always like to use the sock drawer, right? Like something happens to me. it's in my sock drawer. I go look in the bottom of my sock drawer. It's at least a list of where to go. So it's not in a safe. It's not in a where someone has to be able to know what the password is or your safety deposit box at the bank or all this kind of stuff. Like just a, it's not all the, it's just a list of where to go, directions to let people. If something happens to me, this is where it's at.
We've seen this in movies and TV shows. You put in the VHS tape, and if you're watching this now, I'm, you know, and all that. This is a version of that. This is a version of that, having that to decide that nobody has to see or look at until that time comes. And that time comes for us all, and that's something that brings us all on the same level. We're all equal. We're all connected in this. And something that you do these things for your kids, and it is an example to them, and they do it for their kids.
It's a gift. It's a gift.
It's a gift.
We always say that it's a gift you give your loved ones, because if you went through a death in, of someone you loved and it, you're like, I always ask like, how was it? And they're like, oh, it was a mess. Like, yeah, gift. Think about that. The more we have conversations, the more you write it down, the more you share your plans. It's a gift you're giving your loved ones.
Jackie, before we leave, one more time, can we remind everybody about that the meeting tomorrow that's taking place?
Planning Ahead is at the McMillan Library. We're meeting on the second floor in the meeting room at 2 p.m. It's from 2 to 3. Tomorrow, our topic is advanced directives. Next Friday, we're doing estate planning. If you want to come on down, come on down. You don't have to register. Just show up. And it's free. There's no charge. Tomorrow with advanced directives, we will be handing out. I'll give you copies of Wisconsin's advanced directives. Straight from DHS. We do it in a very simple way. So it's easy to understand and just kind of point blank forms. So it's not like a, you know, a 2-inch binder.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And if people have follow-up questions, how can they get in hold of you?
Sure. So if you want to give us a call at our office, the extension office, it's 715-261-8437.
And the website that you can check out as well, extension.wisc.edu. Jackie, always great talking with you. Thank you so much for the time. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.